Welcome along. We've got a special guest with us today, everybody. Pete Jensen of La Liga TV and the Daily Mail is here. We've had a chat with Patreons already about Diego Simeone, about Real Madrid without Benzema. And he's already failed to tell us who his favourite La Liga TV co-commentator is. So another easy question for you, Pete. Do you prefer Real Madrid or Barcelona?
Don't answer, Pete.
I'll say two things.
Trick question.
First of all, I love to see anyone else win things. I really do. I mean, when Sevilla have a great run, when Betis have a great run, I'm a big Pellegrini fan, so I'm enjoying the fact that Betis are doing well. I've not been too many times to Benito. I mean, spent more time at the Pith One, but they're both magnificent stadiums. If you know, people can get down to see those two teams play at home. Villarreal, whenever Villarreal go well, I'm really pleased with that. And the Basque clubs as well, Real Sociedad and Athletic. And as for Barca and Madrid, I go through phases. I mean, it's unprofessional to admit it. But I do go through phases when I think I wouldn't mind Madrid doing well this year. Or I wouldn't mind Barca doing well this year. And for example, when Guardiola was the manager, how could you not want Barca to do well, the football they were playing? Yeah, the best answer is anyone but those two.
That's a good answer. The window cleaners have started, by the way, if you hear some noises. For me, Terry, to answer that question, I don't want Barcelona down on their luck for too long. So all the money that they've spent this year, the gambles that they've taken with the future, I am sort of, you know, I'm not a long-term Barca fan or anything, so I'm not thinking about the future. I am thinking, just give us a good Barcelona now that gives us a good La Liga race. That's basically what I want.
And that looks, thankfully, that does look to be the case, doesn't it? We don't want, at times it's a two-team league, it has been accused of being. And that's been for long periods of the history of La Liga. Just go look at the teams that do win the title. Atletico came to the party, Sevilla have joined in recent seasons. And of course, there was a concern if Barcelona didn't sort themselves out and make themselves competitive again, then it would be, you know, it turned out like Bundesliga, where Bayern have won it 10 years on the trot because Real Madrid are in a really good place on and off the pitch. So it's pleasant to see Barcelona do stuff that we didn't think was possible. Don't know how they've done it, but they've done it. And they've turned them into a team that can, despite the defeat against Bayern, a team, I believe, that could really go far in the Champions League. This year wouldn't be impossible to see Barcelona win a Champions League with a group of players that they've got. They're only going to get better as the season progresses. New players still finding their feet. Lewandowski, once he gets into the group, starts scoring a few goals, he'd be up and running. So, we do need the challenge at the top. It brings a lot of attention to La Liga, as opposed to if Real Madrid run away with it or Barcelona run away with it. We always need those two giants to be neck and neck.
Pete, what have you made of Barcelona's the decisions that Laporta has made, I guess, not to go for the slow rebuild of the free transfers and the sensible building and all of that, to take that gamble? What have you made of it?
I think it was wise because I think they still had, I don't like to use the word brand, but actually you really need to use it here. The brand was still brilliant. And you saw that in the summer with people like Koundé and Lewandowski and Rafinha. They all could have gone to the Premier League and they all said, no, we want to go to Barcelona. So the name is still huge. The club still has the aura. And who knows how long that would have lasted if they had had a couple of seasons, you know, floating around in the Europa League and not getting to the end of competitions and not winning La Liga. So I think it was onto a sure thing in terms of if you built it, the people would come and the crowds this season. I mean, it's up in the over 80,000, whereas last season, you know, there were some really poor attendances. So it's worked, you know, the gamble's paid off, speculate to accumulate. And people say, well, if he doesn't win anything, it all falls apart. Well, that's not strictly true. I mean, in terms of prize money, you need to get to the latter stages of competitions. You get to semi-finals of the Champions League. And you know, that will bring the money in to pay for what they've done in the summer. And I think they were sensible as well. They didn't just, it wasn't just a case of throwing money at it. Koundé is a spectacular signing. And so is Lewandowski. And not just because, for the obvious reason, that he's a brilliant player, but also because of the seniority and the professionalism and the fact that he always takes responsibility, even at, especially at the time when you need players to stand up, he always does that. I think Xavi was very wary of needing to bring in someone with those qualities because, whilst he's got great players, the squad perhaps lacked that or has lacked that in recent seasons.
Yeah, it's a funny one talking about Lewandowski, isn't it? Because it's not exactly an exclusive that we are revealing, you know, new truths that are
50
revealing.
50 goals last season. So
yeah,
I'm sure
yeah, that Robert Lewandowski is good. But but it is, as you've said before, Terry, on here, it is good to see him operate, isn't it? To watch carefully week in, week out. The way that obviously people who follow the Bundesliga have been doing for a decade.
Yeah, to get a deeper look at him week in, week out, to see his all-round attributes, as opposed to I probably saw him playing in the Champions League, and you know, success there depends on how far Bayern went. Ultimately, he brings star quality, doesn't he? I fly out to do my La Liga TV work for years. People have been on the plane saying to me, is Messi playing tomorrow? Because their whole trip is built around going to see the tourist attraction that is Lionel Messi in Barcelona Football Club. And I'm pretty sure people are going to be doing, maybe not in the numbers, but there will be a lot of people now that will combine a trip to a lovely part of Europe to go and watch a game at Barcelona and to get a glimpse in real life of Lewandowski. So the other players they've signed, and the young players that are coming through, are all wonderfully gifted players, but Lewandowski has turned up and he's just lit the place up, and you can see the star quality. I mean, he stepped in. Aubameyang's a really good player, and he did well at Barcelona last season. But the difference between Aubameyang and Lewandowski is it just takes it to a different level, and that's, with all respect in the world to Aubameyang, the difference was suddenly you can see Aubameyang on the bench and you can see Lewandowski starting up front, and the stuff he's doing, you're thinking, oh, that's gone up a notch. Despite the age, was he 34? I think he's 35.
Just 35.
Yeah, just 35 in the last few weeks. So he looks in great shape and he's brought that star quality to Barcelona.
So, Pete, you've been in Spain for nearly 20 years now, isn't it? Since you, as you were telling us earlier on Patreon, that you went out there initially working for the People newspaper. How would you categorise where La Liga stands now compared, within itself, within Spain and other you know, rival sports, rival pursuits, and also compared to the Premier League, to the Serie A, to the Bundesliga? How healthy is it?
Well, La Liga have tried to make it about the competition rather than just make it about Madrid and Barcelona. Mm. And I do think that's had an effect. And I think I look down the fixture list now every weekend and I think Betis, I want to see them. Villarreal, I want to see them. There was the best game last weekend was Rayo Vallecano against Athletic Bilbao. So there's talent and good football more widely spread. I think when I first arrived, the two teams, the Barca and Madrid, were just off the scale, and then there wasn't really a lot else. So I think in that sense, the competition has improved. Comparing it to other leagues is always difficult. I still wish we had more British players playing in La Liga. I mean, that's the thing. I think La Liga has improved by. The Premier League has improved by, you know, players from so many different countries, and I think it would be nice to have, you know, more British players here, but I don't see any on the horizon, just because the Premier League's wealth, the players have paid far more there than they are here. It'd be nice maybe to see some more players trying to finish their career here, just, you know, players that have maybe reached a point where financially they're okay, and just to have a different type of experience and play in a different league before they retire.
Yeah, or even,
that would be great.
Or even when they're young, to develop as players. I mean, Trippier was probably in the autumn of his career when he went to Atleti, but he developed as a player, didn't he? And it's, you know, and we've seen an improved player, I think, when he's come back to Newcastle. And Terry, these guys literally don't need the money, do they? Once one Premier League contract, you're done, isn't it? You don't need. It doesn't matter if you want to go and play for Betis and learn something and play in a different environment, it doesn't matter that you get paid more at West Ham, surely, does it?
No, it shouldn't. You have to ask the current day player how they see that, or the people that in a lot of occasions dictate their careers, agents, etc. They have a lot of say on where the players go and what they should do with their career path. But Bellerin is a good example. I know he's not English, he's not British, but he's took the opportunity last year to go to Betis, probably earning less money than he was getting paid at Arsenal. I don't know whether Arsenal were making up the difference. He's got a free transfer. He's been fortunate enough to find himself back at Barcelona. But you could see, I know it's different, Paul, because he's Spanish and it's coming back home. It's back to the club he supported and now the club he started his career at. And he's still got a lot to offer. So, no, I agree with you. I think it can enhance a player's development. Ramazani's an interesting one. I don't think he's British, is he? But playing for Manchester
Belgian,
United.
Manchester United. Terry.
Yes. I think that it's young players it's a good place to come and develop. Definitely some great coaches, some clubs that play really good football. So I agree with Pete. I'd like to see more players from the UK coming over to try their luck in Spain. Some great clubs to play for now.
Another question for you, Pete, from your perspective as an experienced journalist working in Spain, but obviously being a Brit initially, when the European Super League was floated here, the reaction, it was almost violent, the reaction, wasn't it? We were in the middle of the COVID lockdown, but people still turned up outside the stadiums. And that was, most notably in my mind was Chelsea fans. I think there was a game on a Monday night, wasn't there? And the Chelsea fans turned up with the banner, we want our cold nights in Stoke or whatever it was. Man United fans, I know they've got the Glazer issue going on as well. But, it was a furious reaction, an angry reaction. And the English clubs, tail between the legs, shut it down. And I don't think the English clubs, they certainly won't go back in that kind of format with that kind of, I think they were hurt by that. I think they were scared by it. Different in Spain, isn't it? I think what was their reaction there?
Yeah, completely different. I mean, the English football supporters saved football because I thought the reaction was brilliant. And I hope that if it rears its head again, then the reaction is exactly the same. And don't rule out, by the way, it rearing its head again because, the American owners have no concept really of, I mean, they come from a different sporting environment where you do have these leagues where you stay in the league, whatever you do, meritocracy doesn't play such a big part. So don't rule out, Todd Bowley, for example, at Chelsea, trying to push back on this and maybe even still being, in some sort of contact with Laporta and Perez in Spain. Because Madrid and Barca fans dominate things in Spain and those two clubs potentially would benefit from a European Super League, then I think that it was a far more positive reaction. Although also, proper football fans in Spain also didn't like the idea that you had this situation where clubs would just automatically always be in this league, regardless of how they played. The essence of sport is meritocracy. It's what separates sport from so many other things in life. You see in other spheres, people stay at the top regardless. And in sport, we have this wonderful thing where, the best team wins or the best performer wins. And also at the end of the season, we have this thing where everyone goes back to zero, which you also don't have in normal life. So you can't accumulate that sort of advantage and just run away from the rest. And that needs to be protected at all costs. And as I say, I hope the next time we hear the murmurs, then the reaction is exactly the same.
I think I've got a slightly split view on this with American sport. I think the Americans teach us some things. If you look at the winners of, say, the NFL, the same team doesn't win season after season because they essentially have mechanisms where they equalize it more than we do, I think, in European football. Now, the counter to that is they allow all those things to happen because there is no relegation. And so there is no ultimate fail. Whereas obviously, if you're a Real Madrid, a Bayern Munich, a PSG, they fight tooth and nail against any kind of redistribution of money because they're terrified that they'll never get back again. Whereas the American sports, they have a different view of it. I don't quite know how I don't have an answer to how you get that American season on season competitiveness with the overall protection of the game that we have in the Europe, you know, in European football, and also I would say particularly in English football, where you know it goes down so deep, which is unique to anything else. Can you see? Is it feasible that there would be a reworking of the European Super League? Because it makes less sense for the Premier League clubs, who've already got the richest league.
Yeah, it makes more sense.
It makes more sense for the Italian clubs, the Spanish clubs, Benfica, you know, Porto. In is that a feasible route, or is it everybody or nobody?
No, they'd have to. They'd have to do it without the English teams.
Yeah,
but then you lose the massive global appeal that the English teams bring to the game. So, what they would gain in terms of keeping the spoils themselves, they would lose because the spoils will be fewer because you know they don't have the English teams. I hope that never happens. I don't think it will. I also dispute this idea that sport as it is in Europe, all the same team always wins. I don't think that's true. You can still get, particularly in the English league, you can still get teams climbing up the league ladder. It is difficult, but it can still be done. You still get sides ending up in European competition. Leicester winning the league not that long ago are a good example. Okay, we're going for a period in Germany where Bayern win it every single year, and it does seem to have been a long period. But in Spain, you know, Atletico have won it a couple of times. Well, it's not that long ago that Valencia won the league. So I'm happy with the way things are, and I just think that closed shop thing is horrible. And it's basically just rich people saying, listen, we've got the money, so we stay in the league. And that's just not the way sport works.
Yeah. Is there a way through for Spanish teams to challenge Real Madrid and Barcelona? We saw Atleti do it. We were talking about Simeone earlier, weren't we? So much of that was down to Simeone's brilliance, I think, wasn't it? I think which is a rare thing to find a manager do as good a job, where we didn't treat them seriously as title contenders until Simeone came along. And then they became serious title contenders. Is there a realistic way through for a Sevilla, a Betis, a Valencia, anybody to become a genuine challenger?
Yeah, I think there is. But I think you're absolutely right. It's the coach. You'd have to have a brilliant coach because you're basically dealing with an inferior squad. So Atleti won it when their squad probably wasn't as good as Barca and Madrid, just as Rafa Benitez won it when, likewise, Valencia's squad wasn't as good as Barca Madrid. So it will be about the coach. It will be about the right coach going to the right club. There are several very good young coaches in Spain. Iraola is one of them, currently at Rayo. Now, he, for example, if he went to a club who are close but not quite up there with Madrid and Barca, then you'd back him to maybe get the side into a title race. Let's see if Unai Emery can do it this season at Villarreal. It has to come down to the coach because you're effectively working with a slightly inferior squad, but it can be done. It's happened before, and I think it will happen again for sure.
Terry?
Yeah, it has to be the right club as well in terms of the backing, the fan base. I think that helps, which slightly hampers Villarreal. It's not going to be an Osasuna or someone like that, for instance. That's too far-fetched. But Sevilla, I think, in the last couple of years, have come awfully close to getting to genuinely challenge. I mean, they keep finishing in top four, but I think there was a period, particularly last season, that they should have gone closer to actually challenging to win the title. That club's been built on business sense in terms of buying cheaply, untapped talent, flourishing that talent, and then selling it on for huge profits, and then slowly but surely along the way, winning numerous Europa Leagues and UEFA Cups, and then getting to consistently being a top four team. Because 20 years ago, 15 years ago, that wasn't that's not severe. They're in the second division not so long ago. So to see them develop as a club has shown, but they get severe do have, well, I was going back to, a 40,000 home fan base. Mm. So it's going to be difficult for some of those clubs that don't have that fan base. But there are, Pete said, Valencia. They would be the most obvious candidates. Real Sociedad are going in the right direction. I mean, they've won it in the not-too-distant past as well and come close. So that's with their new stadium. The fan base is good. You know, it's a brilliantly run club. One of the best, if not the best run club in Spain at the moment. in terms of producing players and the right coach and stuff like that, a feel good atmosphere around the club. So they are likely, I'm not going to nail them on as contenders now, but they're going in the right direction. So it's not impossible. But of course, Madrid and Barcelona do have the massive advantage of 70, 80,000 supporters every week, worldwide fan base. And it's in any league where two teams have got that advantage, it's going to be difficult to break it down and genuinely challenge. But we're seeing clubs that are getting closer.
Mm. Right, question for you both. World Cup coming up. I'm guessing that Spain are one of half a dozen genuine contenders. Is that a fair? Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, I'd say that, Pete. Would you?
Yeah, half a dozen. I think. I would struggle to find six, to be honest. I think Brazil are going to be very, very strong. I think England have got a real chance. I've always thought that about a tournament in the middle of a season. And I think France as well, obviously with Mbappe and Griezmann as well, looked brilliant last night, albeit in a Nations League game. So I will pick those three. I think the young players are too young. I think they give it 4 years and we'll see where Pedri and Gavi and hopefully Ansu Fati are. And I think they'll be looking far better in 4 years' time. They've got their strength, I think, is the coach. I think I've got great faith in Luis Enrique to come up with the solutions during a tournament, as he did in the Euros. Changing things when he needed to be changed. They had a poor group stage and then came really good at the end and were unlucky to lose the semi-final against Italy. Argentina will be a fantastic story. I think we'd all, a second team behind your own country. We'd love to see Messi win it. Probably not got enough else beyond Messi. So I can see three. So I don't know. Tell me your six.
So I've got Argentina and England and Spain. Maybe not a six,
Germany.
Actually.
Has anyone mentioned the Germans?
Well,
they don't do bad.
Yeah. And they've got some good players, haven't they? Yeah. So if I was, if I'm five, I can make a genuine case for, and I'm including Spain in that because of the improvements they made in the tournaments, having been, as we discussed before, Terry, painful to watch in that group stage. I was thinking, what's happened to them, and then how well they played. I was at the semi against Italy. They were unlucky. Italy played well. It was one of the best games I've ever seen in terms of technical quality, tactical quality. It was brilliant. So I actually think Argentina are okay. Obviously, that they Copa America winners. They then beat Italy in the what do they call it? That new game. Hopefully, finding a role for Messi. Maybe the fact that they're not all just looking at him, expecting him to be like the kid in the playground these days, might ironically open up Argentina a little bit more and make them. And I agree with you, Pete. All of this. As Englishmen, we're supposed to like hate Argentina, aren't we? And I'm not having that. They're a great footballing nation. I'd love if it's not England, then I'm all for Argentina winning it. Terry, and are you chucking anyone else in? Have you any more thoughts?
Yeah, Dutch.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They're more of a decent team. Van Gaal's got them going really well. Not full of out and out star names, but I've worked on them in a few games over the qualifiers and friendlies and stuff, and I've really been impressed with what Van Gaal's doing. So they're going to be, which always enhances a World Cup, in my opinion. I've probably been a bit of a romantic going back to Cruyff and stuff like that, that orange kit back in 1974, and seeing it and like, oh, who's this team? And, up until that point, I hadn't seen too much of them. I'd heard about Ajax winning European Cups, but didn't get to see them. And then all of a sudden you see that bright orange kit. And we've missed them in a few World Cups and an impact. I mean, the last one was when they got beat by Spain in the final. And it wasn't your traditional Dutch team, was it? It was hardworking, quite physical. But this Dutch team look as if they won't be it. They'll be difficult opponents for anybody in this competition. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but I think they could be outsiders, to be honest.
To be fair to the Dutch, they did come back and thrash Spain, didn't they? 4 years after that, wasn't it? The Van Persie diving header when Spain suddenly imploded. That can happen in tournaments, though, can't it? That It's basically seven games of football, isn't it? And then we draw every conclusion, the deepest
and who knows,
conclusions in the world. Yeah.
Who knows what it's going to be like this year. The French probably would be my first pick. But everything, there's always something happening around the French squad, isn't there, with the atmosphere. And there's always, they not always, because they've won the last World Cup, but they can be their biggest opponent themselves. So, and who knows what impact being in the middle of the season is going to have on the competition. Who's going to be available? Who's going to be fit and healthy? Because we'll be in the middle of the season, and you've got players with long-term injuries, hoping to be fit, a race against time in the middle of the season. Managers saying no. Oyarzabal, I think, comes to mind. He's racing to try and get fit, and Real Sociedad said no, he's not going. Much to his surprise, he still is hoping he can get fit. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays in the big picture of football in the middle of a season. Ludicrous, by the way, that it's in the middle of the season. Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. I'll miss it in the summer. It's a big feature, isn't it?
Well, we did miss it, didn't we? They robbed us of a World Cup last summer.
Should have already been. Sorry.
Yeah. That's what we should have had, isn't it? And we haven't. Yeah. Now we've got this thing anyway. But anyway, I'm not of the camp. I'm determined to enjoy it, and I'm determined to watch it properly. I know, and I'm not going. Whereas previously I have been, just to go as a fan and just enjoy it, and just because it's the best thing in the world, the World Cup, because of the meeting of people and of cultures and of football fans, and you get to watch, 64 games of football in a month as well. So one last thing, but I probably should have told you this in advance, I briefed you on this, but the women's team in Spain seems to be in utter chaos, which is a shame, isn't it, for a sport that's on the up.
It's a big news story here this morning. I'm not great on the women's game, but I can tell you that an email or 15 emails sent individually by 15 members of the Spain squad sent to the Spanish Federation, basically saying that they don't like the coach, and they feel that emotionally and physically they're being damaged by the way the team is being trained, and basically saying that they want a different coach. So it's a bizarre situation. I don't think I can remember anything like that happening in the men's game. I think there are plenty of stories from the men's game of half the squad not liking the coach.
We didn't have emails about when I was playing.
But for this sort of action to happen is a strange one. Yeah.
Because it's very much on the rise, isn't it, women's football in Spain?
Yeah, no, it's huge here. It's massive. And it gets good coverage as well. And as I say, last night the big sports programs, late night radio is dominated by sport. Good quality sports programs, and they were all that was the number one topic.
Yeah. Well, Pete, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for coming.
I enjoyed
it. Yeah, and come back on at some point when we have a little lull again, and we'll catch up again. And for now, continue with your good work at La Liga TV and the Daily Mail, and we will hopefully catch up with you again soon, Terry. We will be back with you. So we'll do some Patreon stuff. So Patreons, if you want to send us some questions in, anyone who was not a Patreon, get involved. Patreon.com/LTEL, and we'll see you for some more podcasts soon.